Let's turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, verse 14. Matthew 17:14. And when they came to the multitude, a man came up to him, falling on his knees before him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." And Jesus answered and said, "O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." And while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." And they were deeply grieved. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this morning, and thank you that we can come together and just pray to you and spend some time in the morning in your presence. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and speak to us today. Thank you, God. We give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, this passage, you know how when Dan Sneed was here, and other preachers always say this, they say, you know, they read a passage and they have like parts in the Bible that they want to skip over. You know, they have like, "Oh yeah, this passage, I always want to skip over," blah, blah, blah. You know, they talk about stuff like that, right? I think for me, this passage is one of those passages where I read it, but I'm like, man, I don't know if this is, like, I have a hard time, I think, believing a passage like this, because listen to what Jesus says, right? At the very end, he says, "It's because of the littleness of your faith, but if you had faith as a mustard seed, then you would be able to move mountains, and nothing will be impossible to you." And when I read that, you know, it's a challenge to me, right? That I need to move in faith, and that nothing really is impossible for us, you know, if we have faith. But even when I say that, I don't say it with conviction, because I think in my heart, I'm like, there are all these mountains in my life, and I'm like, that it's impossible for me to climb or whatnot. So, good reminder this morning for me too as I read this passage. But that's not the main thing I want to talk about. I just want us to look at verse 14, right? Right in the beginning, the man comes up to Jesus and says, "Lord, have mercy on me. My son is a lunatic," and he goes into the fire, goes into the water, "and you need to save me. I brought him to your disciples. I could not cure him." And look at the way Jesus responds. Verse 17, "O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me." Doesn't Jesus sound a little bit harsh? Like if you were bringing your son or your needs before Jesus and said, "Oh, Jesus, you need to help me. I can't do anything about this." And Jesus says, "You wicked," basically, "you wicked and stubborn generation. What is wrong with you?" kind of thing. What's wrong with you? How long do I have to put up with this kind of thing? So I was meditating last night and I was asking the Lord, "Why are you so harsh? Like, Jesus, what's the deal? If I were to come to you and you responded like this, I would be quite hurt, you know, quite, I don't know, not offended, but quite hurt if Jesus responded to me like this." So I was kind of meditating and praying, and I believe God has kind of shown me and given me some insight. So this is what I think happened. So Jesus, remember, is up in the mountain. He's getting transfigured at this time. And his other disciples are here below the mountain or under the mountain. And say this man comes up to the disciples, right? And he says his response is, "Hey, my son, you know, is a lunatic. He's demon-possessed. Can you come and cure him?" And obviously the disciples could not do it, right? And so when Jesus comes down, I feel like the disciples are the ones that should have come before the Lord and said, Jesus, this man came to us, but we couldn't do anything for him. Could you help him out? But I feel like what happened was the disciples were kind of ashamed of what happened. And instead of coming honestly before the Lord and saying, Lord, you know, this guy came and I know that we should be able to cure him and help him out, but we couldn't do anything. Instead of doing that, they're kind of trying to hide it away from the Lord. And the man has to come to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, you know, my son is in need and your disciples couldn't do anything. And so I believe that's why Jesus is so harsh with the disciples, saying, hey, what's the matter with you? You know, you need to figure this thing out, kind of thing. Because you see that more in verse 19. The disciples come to Jesus privately and ask, why could we not cast it out? So, you see, in verse 14, when the man comes up to Jesus, he's very, very honest. He says, Lord Jesus, my son is crazy. My son is a lunatic. And, you know, he's very ill. He goes into the water, goes into the fire. Can you do anything? And this, I believe, is what God wants us to do before him, that we come before him honestly and give him all our problems. I think oftentimes we try to hide things. There's a quote from P. Sam. He says, do you want an appearance of wholeness or do you actually want wholeness? And oftentimes I think we settle for just the appearance of wholeness. And even when I come before the Lord, just like yesterday, Monday and yesterday, I had all this intention in my heart to spend good, quiet time with the Lord. Monday's my day off, right? So I was like, yeah, I'm going to spend time with the Lord and really get into his presence. But Monday comes around, I was tired and I just wasted all of my time doing other things. And so come Monday night, I'm like, oh, I couldn't spend time with God. So I was saying, okay, on Tuesday, I'm going to spend time with the Lord and really come before him. Yesterday, I come to EMP. I'm so tired for some reason. I was so tired the whole day. I was really tired and I really couldn't spend time with God. And I'm on my way to house church and I'm like, oh, God. And then what I do when I come before the Lord is I try to make excuses. I say, but you know, I prayed at EMP a little bit, you know, or, you know, I had good thoughts during the day and I'm still trying to justify myself before the Lord and say, God, but you know, I did this and I did that and I think I'm doing okay. And then, I don't know, it was the Holy Spirit, hopefully, just said, just be honest before the Lord. Just say you're sorry, you know, because I was sorry. I mean, I was gonna spend time with God, but I didn't because of all the other distractions that came to my life. So I said, in the end, I said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I wanted to spend time with you, but I couldn't. But, you know, I still love you and whatnot. And what does God say, right? God says it's okay. Because, you know, we'll never measure up, right? Whether we are doing super well on this earth or we failed a little bit and we've made some mistakes, we're never going to measure up to the standard of God. And that's why Jesus Christ came, so that we can have free access into the throne room of grace whenever we come before him. So once I got honest and just said, you know, this is who I am. I wanted to spend time with you, but I couldn't. Lord, you know, forgive me and come, please help me get back into your presence. And even in that short taxi ride, I could feel the presence of God come into my heart. You know, when I got honest and just said, Lord, this is who I am. Instead of trying to justify myself or trying to appear holier than I was, even before the presence of God. And you see this man, because he comes before the Lord and says, my son is a lunatic. When I read that, I thought, man, that takes humility. Because a lot of us, especially growing up in Asian culture, if our son was a lunatic, we want to hide that away from people. We want to be like, our son's fine. Our family's fine. Don't worry about us. You know, we always want to have an appearance of wholeness to people, but we're still so messed up. But this guy, it takes him to just come before the multitude, right? Because they're in the presence of a multitude. And he comes before the Lord and humbly says, we've got problems. My son is crazy. Right? And I think it takes guts, it takes humility to come and really be open and honest before the Lord. But that's what God wants us to do. Because he already knows. He already knows the issues of our heart. He already knows the issues of our family, you know, etc. You know, sometimes people tell Pastor Sam or whatever, they say, oh, so-and-so in my family is sick, but please don't tell anybody. And, you know, he gets frustrated. He's like, what's the big deal? You know, because he knows that if he announces it and people come together to pray, it's going to be more powerful. But people always want to hide things and always want to appear like they're doing okay. And you see this man, he's just honest. He says, Jesus, my son's crazy, but you need to come and help him. And he also says, your disciples even couldn't do it, you know? And I think there's a big contrast between what this man is doing and what the disciples are doing. See, this man is coming honestly before the Lord Jesus saying, God, please help me. My life, my family, my son is broken and in need. Would you come? And the disciples are trying to hide the fact that they couldn't heal this guy. And then they come privately. When no one else is around, they come to Jesus and say, Jesus, how come we couldn't do this? You know? Like they're not open or they're not just, you know, like desperate enough to even tell everybody else. Because I think there's a multitude. So for the disciples to come to say, Jesus, you know, we couldn't do this thing. It's like embarrassing. You know? And then they want to hide it away. And I think it's Matthew is drawing this contrast between this man, the response of this man, and the response of the disciples, just coming, trying to hide, trying to be private about their issues and problems, and say, why could we not cast it out? And so Jesus kind of rebukes them, right? He rebukes them in verse 17. He says, you perverted and stubborn generation. And then in verse 20, he says, because of the littleness of your faith, you couldn't do this. And he says, for truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say this mountain, say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So Jesus rebukes them, but he also leaves them with a promise, right? He rebukes them and says, yeah, this and this is why you couldn't do this, but if you figure it out, this is the promise to you. Nothing will be impossible to you. You will be able to say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And this is how Jesus always brings a rebuke, right? Even when you read through Revelation, and Jesus is rebuking the churches, he always starts off, and he gives them something good about what they've done. They say, you know, you've done a good job in this and this and this, but this is where you're lacking. But he doesn't stop at this is what you're lacking, figure it out. He always says, this is what you're lacking, but if you figure it out, there's this great and awesome promise that is coming your way. And this is how Jesus always brings a rebuke. You know, when we come before the Lord and say, God, this is who I am, honestly, not trying to hide anything from him, he might not always say, oh, it's okay. You know, he'll show you, hey, this is where your issue is, but figure it out, and there is this great promise that is coming your way, you know? And I'm going to do an amazing thing, and your life is going to be so amazing, so full of joy, and so full of life, and so full of purpose and direction, you know? And that's who Jesus is, right? That's how he rebukes us and corrects us and leaves us with a promise. So this morning, Jisun is going to lead us in worship. I just want us to go honestly before God and tell him. Tell him just who we are. You know, we're small, or this is my issue. Don't try to hide anything from the Lord, because he knows it already anyway. Right? He knows whatever is in your heart. He knows all kind of your issues and brokenness. I like that quote, you know, that says, do you want the appearance of wholeness, or do you actually want wholeness? And I want wholeness, you know. I don't want to be just satisfied with appearing holy or appearing whole. But it takes a real desperation, you know, and real honesty and humility before the Lord to say, Lord Jesus, you know, this is my issue. And I'm not as good as I thought I was. But would you come into my life? And He always comes. He always comes with His presence.
Take over.
pray together. Let's pray for our church, first of all. Let's pray that our church would be able to come humbly before the Lord and just be honest and open about our problems and our issues, that we won't hide things from God or try to justify, you know, if we have a sin issue in our lives. So pray for yourselves and pray for the church, that we would be a church that just comes honestly before the Lord, not hide anything from Him, and not try to just appear like we're doing okay, but that we would be humble and open. So let's pray together for our church. For the SP staff, we have Pastor Sam, Song, and Lisa, and Lisa and Emma. And Lisa's pregnant, and they're in Macau until Thursday, so you can pray for them, just for a safe journey. And also Pastor Sam, Kim, and Annie, Micah, Noel, and also Annie's pregnant, and they're in the States. They'll be there until November or something, November 7th or something like that. So if you can pray for them as well. Just for a good, relaxing holiday for them. And also Kenny and Sophia and myself. And just cover the pastoral staff that we would... and also Pastor Salamat and Mimi and Sam and Cardia, their children. So just cover the staff and just ask for God's grace and covering and protection over the staff members. Let's pray for our missions focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for just the nation as a whole. You know, when Chuck Pierce is here, he made some amazing prophetic utterings, you know, about China and what God is going to do there. So let's continue to pray for that nation, that the church would be able to stay focused. And as they get more freedom, you know, that they'll still be able to keep that fire burning for the Lord Jesus. And let's pray for our missionaries that we're supporting there. Let's pray for John and Jane Chong and their children, Samuel, Joseph, and Daniel. If you can cover their family and their ministry. Also my parents who are in Qingdao doing ministry to the Chinese people there. And also the orphanage that we are, that Pastor Sam Kim is kind of helping with in Chichihar, and with the 5-6 children there. And also the orphanages in Fujian and Hunan that we've been visiting. Let's just pray for God's covering. And also, if you remember, Steve and Janine Basaraba, they're also in Nanjing teaching, but also doing missions. Let's cover our missionaries in China and pray for that nation. Let's pray for the Wednesday house churches. Let's pray that God will just bring His love and His presence upon each of the house churches meeting this week or today. Pray for the leaders and pray for just a real good time of ministry and fellowship. So let's pray for house churches meeting today. Let's pray for the building search. Let's pray that God will continue to lead us and guide us, and that He will release to us a temporary solution, and just that He will continue to lead Pastor Sam and the building committee, that they'll have direction that come from the Lord. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that nothing will be impossible. You know, for our church, God, and for our personal lives, you know, as we come before you humbly and rely on you. And I pray that you will help us with our faith, God. Lord, we believe, but help us with our unbelief so that we can truly just grow in this area as well, trusting in you and having faith in you. And just today I pray that you will bless each and every person that is here with your presence and with your love. I pray that they will be able to sense the tangible presence of God throughout this day, and that we would be able to glorify you and put a smile on your face as we go out there, God, and live for you. And help us as we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will guide us and lead us in our prayer times. And we thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day.